For our scripture reading this morning, we'll be reading from Matthew chapter 16, beginning with verse 13. We'll be reading through verse 27. Matthew 16, beginning with verse 13. Hear the word of God. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So he said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." And Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole earth or the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works." So I have read Matthew 16, verses 13 to 27. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Horatius Bonner wrote the following prayer, quote, "Fill thou my life, O Lord my God, in every part of praise, that my whole being may proclaim thy being and thy ways. Not for the lip of praise alone, nor even the praising heart, I ask, but for a life made up of praise in every part." End quote. This prayer was written as a request that the kingdom of our Father in heaven would come to him, and would come by every part of his life being made up of praise. But this prayer also implies another desire of Bonner, and that is that his life could only be a life of praise, life of living our king, living the kingdom of God in him, in so much as it is lived in such a way that God's will would be done not only in him, but also by him. And yet by nature we are not inclined to do the will of God, much less know the will of God. Our hearts are stubbornly full of self-will, as old Blue Eyes Frank Sinatra declared in one of his popular songs, quote, "I'll do it my way," end quote. This inclination to do what we want, the way we want, is so strongly embedded within mankind that even Christians fail many times in their lifelong struggle against it, or become so convinced that their will is God's will, that even God's revealed will in Scripture is twisted, perverted, to make it appear that their will is God's will, when in fact the Scripture speaks contrary to their will. Within the church community, we see this happening when Scripture is twisted and perverted to say that it is okay to be a homosexual, or that it is okay to have women ministers. And now, practicing homosexuals and lesbians in the pulpit. Despite Scripture specifically stating no homosexual will enter the kingdom of God, or that women are not to have authority over men. Scripture has not changed. But evil men, very religious evil men, have corrupted and changed how Scripture is viewed, placing their will and their way above the truth clearly revealed to us by the Lord God. Another way in which they twist and pervert God's Word is to say that it is God's will that no one should have more of this world's goods and money than anyone else. This has led to a current mindset among many people that the government has the right to steal from the rich and wealthy through taxation and give it to others. Redistribution of the wealth has become the buzzword for those on the political left. This is what liberation theology teaches. But it's nothing more than a Christianized version of Marxist communism, which will destroy this country just as it did Russia. More importantly, it is a destruction of the faith. It is destroying the faith of many, turning it away from Christ and focusing it on the government to save them from their troubles in this life. Oh, what a perversion of truth and self-destruction of the soul there is when we insist upon our own will rather than submitting to the will of God. So is it any wonder that Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, that we are to pray that God's will be done, and that it be done not in the same manner as is carried out according to the will of sinful men, but as it is done in heaven by the heavenly host. It is for good reason that the Heidelberg Catechism teaches us that when we pray, petitioning God our Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we are not asking God to accomplish His will as though there is some uncertainty to it being done, but rather we are asking God that He so work His grace in us that our will would be to do His will in obedience to His Word from thankful hearts. Catechism number 124 teaches us that when we pray the third petition of the Lord's Prayer, we are asking God to grant that, quote, we and all men renounce our own will and without gainsaying obey your will, which alone is good, so that everyone may fulfill his office and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels do in heaven, end quote. From this understanding of the third petition and the petition itself, from God's Word or from what Jesus told us, we draw two questions which we will address this morning. First, what is the will of God? And the other question is, in what manner is God's will to be done? In answering the question, what is the will of God, we understand from Scripture that it is understood in two ways. The first way in which God's will is understood is in the sense of it being His irresistible eternal decree, whereby God governs all things according to His good purpose, the purpose that He had decreed from before the foundations of the world, from eternity. The sense of the will of God is seen in Isaiah 46:10, where we read, quote, declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. End quote. In this verse, the Lord has declared that He will execute His will in all things whatsoever that happens from the beginning of time to the end of the ages, including events that are not yet to occur. Though man may stubbornly strive to oppose God's will, God will accomplish all that He has purposed, doing all His pleasure according to the secret counsel of His providence. This also includes God's election of some to salvation while leaving the rest of mankind in a state of condemnation. In Romans 9, 18 and 19, we read, quote, "Therefore He has mercy on whom He wills, and whom He wills He hardens." You will say to me then, why does He still find fault? For who has resisted His will? So we see that in the sense of God's irresistible, eternal decree, His will be done, regardless of how hard we oppose it. And prayer will not change anything regarding His will in this sense. Nonetheless, knowing this, we ought not to cease to witness Christ to every human being and to pray for the lost, since we do not know whom God has elected to redeem and save, and those whom He has left condemned. This leads us to the second sense of God's will, which is His revealed will, or as some have called it, God's perceived will, which is found only in Holy Scriptures, the Bible, and is understood to be His commandments that He gives us to obey. It is in this sense of the will of God that we are instructed in the Lord's Prayer, "Your will be done on earth." That is, that all creatures may obey Him as He has commanded in His Word without opposition and without reluctance or begrudgingly. We understand it in this way because Jesus includes the words, quote, "on earth," end quote. This is also seen in Jeremiah 7:23, where the Lord tells us, quote, "Obey My voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be My people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you," end quote. This is not God's secret will, but His revealed will, which He has made known to us and given to us as commandments and principles to obey and follow in this life on earth. This is what we are petitioning in the Lord's Prayer, and indeed ought to be petitioning Him in our prayers, whether the Lord's Prayer is used or not. Thus, in praying God's will be done, we are expressing a twofold desire. First, that by God's grace, He would grant and cause us to not do our own will, since it has been corrupted with sin, and enabling us to deny and renounce our own will and be willing to suffer the loss of all things that are contrary to His will. Jesus tells us in Matthew 16:24, in the passage that we read this morning for our Scripture reading, that if we desire to follow after Him, we must deny ourselves, deny our own will. Did not Jesus Himself give us an example to follow in denying our own will when He prayed just hours before He went to the cross to die for our sins in Luke 22:42, saying in His prayer to His Heavenly Father, quote, "Not My will, but Yours be done," end quote. Thus let us hold ourselves in readiness to give up all desires and wishes which are in opposition to the law of God, which are contrary to the revealed will of God for us, not to mention His decreed will. And having denied our own will, let us then yield our will to God's will in obedience to Him, holding in readiness of mind and spirit to take up our cross and serve Him with all diligence, doing His will. Let us cheerfully and properly perform our duties, whether they are those duties that are required from all Christians and consist in the virtues that are necessary for the godly in Christ, such as faith, forgiveness, repentance, godliness, love, temperance, and so on. Or whether our duties are those that are specific to our gifts and calling in this life. The Apostle Paul wrote in Titus 2, verses 11 and 12, quote, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age." Thus, when we pray, "Your will be done on earth," let it be prayed with the understanding that God would so incline our hearts to put away and deny our own corrupt will and desires, and so work in our hearts by His Word and Spirit that we would rest in His grace and goodness as we discharge our various duties in a manner that is worthy of our calling, leaving the final outcome or result in God's hand, who disposes and directs all things according to His good purpose and good pleasure according to His irresistible, eternal, decreed will. This leads us to the second question that we draw from the third petition of the Lord's Prayer. That is, in what manner is God's will to be done? Jesus tells us that when we pray that God's will be done on earth, we are to also pray that it is done in the same manner as it is done in heaven. When Jesus refers to heaven, we are to understand that He is referring to the angels who serve Him continually in heaven. With regard to their service in doing God's will, we note that the angels do so perfectly, which is understood to be in three ways. The angels in heaven do God's will eagerly. Second, willingly. And then the third way, faithfully. As to being eager to do God's will, we read in Psalm 103, verses 20 to 21, quote, "Bless the Lord, you His angels who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you His hosts, you ministers of His who do His pleasure." They heed or obey the voice of His word. That is, when the Lord gives a command, they are eager to obey, to do His will, His pleasure, as it says in these verses. There's no struggle. There's no resistance in doing God's will. They heed the voice of God's command eagerly. In our catechism, we are taught that doing God's will eagerly means that obedience to God's will is done without gainsaying. The angels serve God, obeying His every word without gainsaying. Now, what does gainsaying mean? It's a word that's not used often these days. But what it means is that it's to speak against, to complain or whine about what's being required to do something, or to do it begrudgingly. Those of us who have children know about what it means when your child complains about having to do something that they were told, such as cleaning their room, taking out the trash, or doing some other unpleasant chore. Of course, us adults are exempt from gainsaying and whining and complaining about stuff that we have to do, right? Now, I'm sure that there is not one person in the congregation who has not engaged in gainsaying at some point in their life, including myself. Most of the time it was done quietly under our breath because we knew, we learned the hard way, most of us, that if we complained against our parents' directive, usually had unpleasant consequences. You know what I mean, don't you? But doing our chores, grumbling and complaining to ourselves, was also not doing our parents' will as it is done in heaven. We do not read in Scripture of any angel in heaven obeying God's voice, grumbling to himself. On the contrary, the angels obeyed eagerly, doing the Lord's word, doing His pleasure without gainsaying. Which leads us to the second way God's will is done in heaven, that is, willingly. The angels, in doing whatever the Lord commanded, doing so eagerly, they did so conforming their will to the will of God. Unlike Lucifer, who wanted to assert his will against the will of God, the angels that did not follow Satan willingly served the Lord in obeying Him, obeying His word, His command. The angels in heaven are not forced to do God's will as unwilling servants of God. They serve fully all that He commands, and they do so willingly. In Psalm 40, verse 8, we read of the Son of God saying, "I delight to do Your will." So also the angels who praise God continually. While ministering on earth before His death and resurrection, Jesus says in John 4:34 that His food is to do God's will. That He was not sent to do His own will, but the will of Him who sent Him, His Heavenly Father. And in His prayer just before His crucifixion, it has been pointed out, as it has been pointed out, that Jesus prayed, "Not my will, but your will be done." So we see the angels are of the same mind as Jesus in this regard. In heaven, God's will is done willingly by the angels, so also by the Son of God. He did so on earth in His earthly ministry, more so even now as He sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven, in body and soul, as man, true man, and true God. And ought not this also be our desire? Especially as we pray the Lord's Prayer, that we, as well as all men everywhere, would have our will formed in such a way that it would be in harmony with the will of God, to be in conformity to the righteousness of God, so that we would freely bend our will in whatever direction God appoints. And yet, there is also something deeper implied here in this prayer. According to Romans 8:7, we are incapable of willingly obeying God's will because of sin. Because we carry in us this sin nature. Therefore, in the third petition of the Lord's Prayer, we ought to also understand it as a prayer that includes a request that would remove all our obstinacy, which rises in unceasing rebellion against Him, and so work in us to transform our will, giving us a desire to willingly render obedience to God's will in all eagerness and submissiveness. Desiring nothing but to do that which is pleasing to God and meets His approval. In other words, that our will would be to do His will, just as it is with the heavenly hosts. And then the third way in which the angels in heaven do the will of God is by doing it faithfully. We see that because the angels in heaven are eager and willing to do whatever the Lord commands them to do, they will also discharge their duties faithfully. They will not stray from their tasks, but work until whatever is required is completed. This is beautifully illustrated for us in Ezekiel's account of his vision of heaven in the first chapter of his book. In that vision, which is it's a real vision, it's not a hallucination, it's not a metaphorical illustration or fanciful story, as some might have thought that it could be. It is a real vision. And in that vision, Ezekiel describes four living creatures, presumably angels, a cherubim. In his description of the four living creatures, he writes in verse 12, quote, "And each one went straight forward. They went wherever the Spirit wanted to go, and they did not churn when they went." And in verse 17, he states that when they were given the direction of the Spirit, they did not turn aside when they went. In this description of the living creatures, they see their faithful obedience. We see their faithful obedience. They did what they were commanded to do without distraction. They went straight. They didn't turn when they went. They did not turn aside in performing the will of the Lord until completed. The willingness and eagerness were such that when they were commanded by the Lord to do something, they faithfully obeyed. They remained focused on the task given to them by the Lord until it was completed. One of those tasks is to minister to God's elect. Minister to them unto salvation. Now, what if those angels decided that, this guy's doing okay, I'm just going to kind of go off task here a little bit and do something else. You can't even imagine that happening with an angel in heaven. They stayed on task. They're focused on what God has commissioned them to do, and that is to minister to His elect unto salvation. And they did so, and they do so even now until the day of redemption, the day of Christ coming again. They will remain on task. What a great comfort that is, knowing that they will not churn from that task that's been set before them. They are faithful in doing the will of God. In Hebrews, we also read of the faithfulness of the angels who eagerly and willingly minister to God's elect who will inherit salvation, which I just mentioned. Although we offend the angels and God by our sin, they nevertheless faithfully minister to us who will inherit salvation by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. What is the task set before us as believers in Christ? What is it that we are commanded to do by Christ Himself? The answer is found in Matthew 28:19-20. We are to make disciples of all nations. And in Mark 16:15, we are told by Christ to preach to the nations the gospel. We are to preach the gospel. Go out to all nations and preach the gospel to every creature. Let us not get distracted from this great commission of Christ to the church, but remain focused and diligent, going straight forward, as it were, turning neither to the left or to the right. Thus we see that the angels do the will of God eagerly, willingly, and faithfully, as God's will is so done, and as God's will is so done in heaven, may it also be done on earth by men doing God's will eagerly, willingly, and faithfully. But as it has been noted before in this message, man is not inclined by nature to do God's will in this way, or in any way for that matter. So when we pray the Lord's Prayer, praying, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," let it be a prayer that God would so work in our hearts by His Word and His Spirit that we would do His will as it is done in heaven, whereby we renounce our own will, giving no thought of hesitation or refusal to obey, but serving Him willingly, our will being to do God's will, and to remove from our hearts all complaining and grumbling, serving and obeying Him with eagerness, eager readiness, so that we might not turn to the left or to the right, being distracted by our own wants and desires, but faithfully discharging the duties assigned to us according to His revealed will to us in Scripture. If that is truly our prayer, prayed in true faith, then we can be certain that God will be pleased in that prayer and answer it, so that our actions and desires would be pleasing to Him. And that out of His infinite good, He would so bless all our actions, counsels, desires, and labors that no other event would follow except such as He knows will most contribute to His glory and our salvation through Christ Jesus our Lord, to whom belongs all glory, honor, and power forever. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, indeed we give thanks to You for Your goodness and Your mercies that abound toward us through Christ Jesus, our Lord. As we look at this petition in the Lord's Prayer, praying that Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, let our thoughts go to doing those things which are required of us, most particularly how they fit in, how we conform our lives to do Your will in fulfilling and in obeying the commandments of the Great Commission to go and preach, go into every nation and preach the gospel to every creature and to make disciples of all nations. So, Lord, pray that You would be with us now. Lord, that we would, our hearts would be changed so that our will would be in conformity to Your will, and that we would serve You and obey You eagerly, willingly, and faithfully, that we would not move to the left or to the right, accomplishing the task that You have set before us. Whatever we are doing, whether it's being a student, whether it's being a housewife, whether it's being an employee, whether we are entrepreneurs, Lord, may it be that everything we do is focused on doing that which would lend towards spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ and enlarging the kingdom of God according to Your grace and mercy. Look, Lord, we look to You and You alone to accomplish these things. For Lord, we cannot do these things on our own strength, but by Your strength, we can do all things. In Christ Jesus, all things are accomplished, are possible. So Lord, we ask these things in His name, the name that is above all other names, King of kings and Lord of lords, Jesus Christ. Amen.